How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, streaming live worldwide from the Sports Byline USA Radio Network website, as well as WrestlingObserver.com. And I'm not sure if you're aware, everybody, but it's now Wrestling Observer Weekends. Are you aware that every Saturday morning, we are here live as well as of yesterday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, every Saturday, an extra hour of Wrestling Observer Live. We kicked it off yesterday with an hour of your phone calls on CM Punk, as well as an interview with Jay Lethal. Great interview. Only went about 20 minutes, but we're going to get him back on at some point, talking the Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view, which is coming up on, that's right, traditional pay-per-view. Ring of Honor also involved in the New Japan Tokyo Dome show, which is coming up on January 4th, also on pay-per-view. We're going to talk about all of that today, plus take your phone calls at 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. This is a wrestling show. It is a forum for you, the wrestling fan. So trust me, you don't have to call about CM Punk today. You can call about whatever is on your mind. So many things to talk about in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We're going to open up the phone lines coming up very soon. We have a lot of news to talk about, however, that we really didn't get a chance to talk about on yesterday's live Saturday debut. We're going to be talking about Sting, his WWE debut, the very first time the Sting has ever stepped foot into a WWE ring was last Sunday at Survivor Series. He's likely to be facing Triple H at WrestleMania this year, which means a lot of things. Number one, no Triple H Rock match. And number two, likely no Undertaker match at WrestleMania this year. So much stuff to talk about today. We're going to kick it off after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here on Sunday afternoon, November 30th, Saturday and Sunday, Wrestling Observer Live every week, 10 a.m. Pacific, we've added on Saturdays. All day yesterday we got calls, and so I'm not sure if you noticed, but our friendly announcer has alerted you that you may call now, 855-478-4478. People have been calling like crazy, Mike, so we may as well open up the phone lines and see what everybody has on their mind. I'll bet a lot of people want to call about CM Punk.
No.
Yeah, that's the story. CM Punk is a hot topic of conversation, and he will be even more so probably. Well, probably not more so, but I just want to say before I answer this phone call here that if you think tomorrow that Steve Austin is not going to ask Vince McMahon about CM Punk, I'll just say, I'll bet you he does. I don't know how much Vince is going to talk about it, but I'll bet you he asks. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
I want to talk to you about the Chris Jericho book. I have some questions that are inspired from the book. First question is about Chris Jericho changing the finish of the Rookie Steamboat match at a house show. Has that ever happened before in WWE?
As far as like just changing the finish of a match at a house show?
Right. Without telling the booker about it.
I would think that it's probably rare because it really doesn't matter. And unless you're like a top guy like a John Cena, a Randy Orton, a Jericho, an Undertaker, you know, guys like that, if they wanted to change a finish, they could. But why? The reason Jericho did it was because Ricky Steamboat was such a legend. And in his mind, why, you know, I want to give Ricky Steamboat this win. And in 99% of the cases in house shows, it's just two guys that have been having 9 million matches. And they do the same match every night, same guy wins every night, it doesn't matter. Maybe every now and then they switch the finish, but I would think that it happens occasionally, but probably not very often.
And the second question I had was about Chris Jericho getting fined for Ric Flair's bleeding and also Batista's bleeding. Are there any other examples where a wrestler has been unjustly fined a large amount of money? Notably, like what example can you come up with?
An unjust fine of a large amount of money. Mike, can you think of anything off the top of your head? I know Batista had that massive fine. I think that's what he was talking about right there.
And who did he have that match against?
Oh, man, it was Batista and I can't even remember. If anybody remembers, tweet me the match that maybe it was Jericho, actually. But whatever the match was where Batista gigged and he got fined, it was something like $100,000 or something crazy that they fined him for gigging. If anybody remembers, go ahead and tweet me at Brian Alvarez. But
that's the thing, because I just seem to remember that there was a match where, you know, two guys were in there, one guy bladed, and both guys ended up getting fined, which is kind of not fair, you know, but I guess that takes out, you know, any saying that you weren't in on it or something like that to try to limit that, I guess.
And of course, there is the famous story of Bret Hart when he gigged in, I believe it was that Roddy Piper match at WrestleMania, and he would have been in big trouble. Potentially, I don't know if he would have been fired, but I know that Vince was furious, but Bret convinced him that it was Hardway. Even though if you watched the match, it was very, very clear that he used a blade. But he fooled Vince McMahon, or at least Vince McMahon allowed Bret to believe that he believed he fooled him.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, according to Bret, it's not like he's done that more than one time.
That's right. That's right. Let's go to the phones. By the way, as we go to the phones here, I just want to mention to folks that if you've never called into this show, fear not. You will be treated respectfully on this show. I know we get a lot of calls, but often we get a lot of the same people calling. If you're a first-time caller, now is your chance. 855-478-4478. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
You treat your callers with respect. That's pretty
how funny. Ironic that it was you, Ed. Okay, there is one caller we may disrespect. He is on the air right now. Ed, what's up?
All right. I felt I had to call in before all the boring CM Punk started, and I do have some women's news. There was a big all-women's show today.
Before you go any further, Ed, are you telling me that CM Punk talk is boring, but your women's wrestling news is going to excite the listening audience?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well they had the Queens of Combat 3, and it was part of the big WrestleCade or Wrestle Reunion thing that was going on in Carolina, and they brought in Angelina Love, who actually did the job to Nevaeh. They had Mickey James making one of her first appearances back since I guess giving birth, and she defeated Tessa Blanchard, who is a fantastic worker despite working for less than a year. They had a former TNA champion.
How did Mickey James look coming back from pregnancy?
I've only seen a couple pictures because it wasn't an iPay-per-view, so I've seen a couple pictures. She looks pretty good. She looks slightly heavy, like someone who would have just had a baby would look, but she does look good for the most part. And your favorite Havoc.
You couldn't say she had a radiant glow or something like that. You had to say she looked a little heavy.
Well, they only have that radiant glow while they're pregnant. She's no longer pregnant, so she wouldn't have that glow anymore.
How would Ed know this? But, can you confirm or deny this fact, Semper Vivi? Was your wife glowing after pregnancy as well?
Yes, she was.
Okay, there
yes,
we
she
go.
She was.
All right, go on, Ed.
Well, that's probably because she's in the room listening to what he's saying. But anyway, Havoc and LaFisto had a double countout. And in the big main event, my good personal friends, the Lucha Sisters, Mia Yam and Leva Bates defeated the world's cutest tag team of Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan. Yes, Joey Ryan was main eventing an all-women's pay-per-view.
That's pretty impressive,
you're
actually.
Him as part of the world's cutest tag team.
You know what's amazing about Joey Ryan is he's got a move called the Boobplex, where he gets behind his female opponent and he grabs her boobs and then suplexes her. And it's just like, look at this guy. You know what I mean? You go to the locker room and you're like, let me explain my big move, okay? I'm going to get behind you and grab your boobs, and I'm going to throw you. I do this everywhere, so we just got to do it in this match. Oh, okay.
No, it's even worse for the woman, too, that nasty, hairy, oily chest that he has, too.
Oh, so there's nothing worse. Don't even get me started on the hairy chest that gets oiled up. It's unacceptable in wrestling.
Yeah, any team that has Joey Ryan, it shouldn't be the world's cutest tag team. It should be the world's sleaziest tag team. But I do have to say, after hearing about his finisher, I have to say that I have more respect for him than any person in the pro wrestling business.
Wow. Well, listen, Ed, I want to thank you very much for the call and the update on all of the women's wrestling news, as only Ed, well, and Jim in Virginia can provide here on the program. We are taking calls, everybody. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. And yes, whatever's on your mind, CM Punk, I know everybody was calling about him yesterday, but hey, if you've got more to add, you can do it today. And any other news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, to the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's going on?
I was just listening to Ed's call, and you mentioned the boobplex. To be fair, his tag team partner and girlfriend has the ballsplex.
I guess that is fair.
And women have used the ball claw against men in professional wrestling for a long, long time.
That's right.
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about was, again, I saw on Twitter, apparently AJ Styles missed the Styles Clash. I don't know. I'm assuming he botched it on Kojima last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah, apparently it was dangerous, but both Kojima's fine is the word there. So I don't know what people are doing.
What is going on nowadays? Is it that AJ is getting a little older and he can't jump as high? Mike, you've seen some of these. What's going on with this Styles Clash?
Well, I mean, it really, the ones that I've seen, Roderick Strong and Naito, for sure. I haven't seen the one with Lionheart, but they tuck their heads. Now, I don't know why all of a sudden guys are tucking their heads. It's like, you know, I just don't understand why it is. I kind of tried to give people the benefit of the doubt. And maybe, you know, AJ did it before they were ready or something like that. But they just seem to be ducking their heads. And on that move, it's a recipe, much like it would be with a pedigree or anything else, to break your neck. So I don't know what's going on, but it's really, now this would be the fourth one this year that has been screwed up high profile. And it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. I haven't seen like a video of it. I'm assuming it happened on the World Tag League. What would it be now? Day 4 or 5, I think.
That's right. Actually, Dave, stick around. We're going to head to a break. We'll pick you up when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And before we go back to Dave in Wisconsin, a couple of notes here from Twitter. First off, the Batista match, it was a Jericho cage match on Raw, as somebody noted here, where Batista gigged and was fined $100,000. And I've also retweeted a link to the latest AJ Styles Clash incident that is on my Twitter right now, at Brian Alvarez. Bill here says, I don't consider any women's wrestling news official until I hear it from Jim in Virginia. I'm sure he will be calling at some point here. But first, let us go back to Dave. Dave, what's going on?
I watched the video, I think Mike was saying over the break, basically he lost his balance and just did it again. But apparently Kojima's fine. I guess now that you bring up the gigging thing, there was that cage match like a year and a half ago with CM Punk where he bladed and Charles Robinson blatantly grabbed up the blade. I think that was with John Cena, and I never heard of anything that happened there.
I'm trying to remember that one. Are you sure that was a blade job there?
You see the blade slide, and I know it was a cage match.
Okay.
I don't know if it was John Cena 100%, but I remember it was a cage match. He gets thrown up against the cage. Charles Robinson picks up the gig. There were a bunch of animated GIFs made of it to blatantly show that the blade was slid over to John.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
The only other thing I would ask would be, do you have an update on the fatty back to positive Kane?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't have an update on the fatty back to positive Kane, but he has been concessions Kane now for 2 shows, Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if that has anything to do with his back gimmick or what, but when I saw them give him that role on Raw, I figured they were just giving him a little bit of time off or whatever it was. Hopefully it is not a staph infection as it was on CM Punk. By the way, I don't know if you remember this, Mike, and maybe somebody listening to this right now can also verify. There was a match, and I cannot remember who it was, but they went into a cage or a pole or something, and they went down, and they started cutting at their head, and then they started putting something in their trunks, and I was like, oh my God, this dude just bladed. And then when they came up, there was no blood, and in fact, they hadn't bladed. They fake bladed, I guess, for people like me who were hoping there would be blood in the match. But they actually, there was no blade, there was no blood, nothing. But they pretended like they had. Do you remember this?
Somebody did it. And all I could think of was when you said that was the obvious Hulk Hogan one, which I think was against Billy Kidman, that in that feud he didn't want
That's
to be
right.
in, where he just took the blade out and in front of the camera just ripped across and that was it.
I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a little kid, and I didn't know what blading was, I remember watching WrestleMania 7, and it was Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter. And Hulk Hogan gigs in that match. And you can see him. He goes down and he runs his hand right across his head. And he's got something in his hand. And I think he hands it to Earl Hebner, if I recall correctly. But then, you know, he comes up and he's bleeding. And as a kid, I was watching it going, what the heck just happened right there? Like, what was he doing with his hand? And why? Now he's bleeding. So I got to thinking about it, and I was like, okay. I mean, clearly this must be, because you know when you were a little kid, all you hear about are ketchup packets, right? And so I thought, okay, well, I don't think it's a ketchup packet, even though you probably could get one of those skinny McDonald's ketchup packets. So I went to the store, and I started looking around in like the food coloring section. And they had these little food coloring Delia Bobs, gimmicks, so to speak, that were about the size of like the first knuckle of your thumb. They were very, very small, and they had little red food coloring in them. And so I concluded, this is what they do in wrestling. They've got these little mini food coloring things, and when they fall down, they squeeze the food coloring across their forehead, and then they come up and they're bleeding everywhere. And so we had our backyard promotion, and so, of course, then there was just blood every day. We're squeezing this, you know, red food coloring all over our face, which, by the way, was a heck to get off. I'll just put it that way. But that was what I thought it was for years until I learned about blading.
As I get older and started reading about, you know, how it was done, and then, you know, hepatitis is an issue now. It just didn't seem to be too much of an issue back in the day where guys would use each other's blades and things like that. But there's a story from, I think it was 1986 in Philadelphia, where Wahoo McDaniel, and think about this now, I don't know if anybody's ever seen a gig, but they did this on 2020 and other places as well, too, where you take a razor blade and you pop off a piece of the razor blade, and you can either carry that piece of blade around in your trunks or tape to your fingers like Ric Flair did. Some guys would keep it in their mouths. But Wahoo McDaniel actually got that piece of blade stuck in his forehead during a match, which, can you imagine? One, can you imagine that? And also, can you imagine the amount of scar tissue you must have to lose a blade in your forehead?
Dude, there was that Shawn Michaels match where he hid the blade in his white full-length trunks, and he cut himself. And so he's bleeding everywhere from like his lower body, and it was grotesque. And another story, do not try this at home, kids. Until I got into wrestling, I didn't know, when I did find out what blading was, I didn't understand until I got into wrestling what a real blade was. And Buddy Wayne made one for me. This was in like 98, 99. And it's a razor blade that you can actually cut with a pair of scissors. It's very, very thin. I didn't know that. And so when I was doing wrestling, like backyard wrestling, and I learned about the blade, I just went and got X-Acto knives, those big, thick metal X-Acto knives. And
ouch.
Twice I gigged with an X-Acto knife on my forehead, like a complete idiot. Do not try this, everybody. I'm just telling you the stupidity of a youngster back
in the
90s.
You know what? Don't hard way each other, too, by punching downward on the eye. Don't do that.
How about you just don't bleed?
There's a reason, you know, obviously Mattel being one of the reasons why, and WWE sponsors, but I, as a child that grew up in the 80s watching Crockett and Mid-South and watching these promotions that used a lot of blading and used a lot of blood to elicit emotion, and it wasn't as much as in some other places, but, you know, they did start becoming very reliant on it. Obviously, Dusty Rhodes, who was a notorious bleeder, being the booker for Jim Crockett Promotions, had something to do with that. And every once in a while, I miss it, and I know on the board and on our website and on this show, we'll get calls, and people will be upset from time to time that there is no blood anymore. And I think there might be a place for a little bit, tiny bit of it. But I got to be honest, in a way, it's better that the whole thing has kind of gone away. You should be able to have better stories and elicit, you know, a little bit of a different reaction without all of the blood.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Brad from Las Vegas.
Brad, what's going on?
I was just wondering if there's any way you could put like a timer on Ed from San Antonio, because honestly, Jim from Virginia, he's got like a charm about him. That's why I don't mind listening to him. But Ed, he just like groans about the entire time he's on the line.
Do you know that in the old days of radio, there was a little machine? I don't even know exactly what it was called. But when you picked up the phone, there would be a little tone that would begin playing in your headphones. and the tone would get louder and louder and louder for 2 minutes. And eventually, that was how they determined if a guy had been on the phone for too long. So maybe I need to grab one of those for when Ed calls.
I think just listening to Ed should kind of give you a little something. I mean,
I do get a ringing in my ears. That is correct.
That guy's hard to listen to. Going back to AJ Styles and him botching the Styles Clash a lot, I would think it would have a lot to do with him, because Michelle McCool couldn't wrestle at all, yet she was able to do it.
But the thing is, AJ Styles had been doing this move for years, and there are other guys who do moves where lots of different moves where guys are dropped on their faces where they shouldn't be tucking their neck. It just, again, there's a weird rash of them. Well, I don't know if there's a rash of them. I don't know how many times he's done it this year, but 3 times is a lot. Now, the one with Kojima today, if anybody knows, Satoshi Kojima is not a small man at all, and Styles got him up and just basically fell backwards, and Kojima's neck was still, his head was still bent back a little bit, and so he landed on top of it, but he doesn't seem to be hurt by it at all. But again, the case of Yoshitatsu, and I didn't see Lionheart, but Roderick Strong, who admitted this as well, that they tucked their heads for whatever reason, and maybe it's the law of averages. Nobody's been hurt on this move by seemingly anyone for as long as anyone can remember. And maybe, I don't know, again, maybe it's just the law of averages or something like that. And unfortunately, it's happened 3 times this year.
Well, you are right about Michelle McCool, but as Mike noted, I mean, AJ did it for years, and it wasn't until like this past year that all of a sudden there was one mistake after another. I don't know what it is. It's a mystery.
Think he's just having like a bad time?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a bad... My theory is that... I don't really have a theory, but I kind of wonder if, like, as he gets older, can he not jump as high? Is that part of the problem? And because he's not jumping as high, there's more of a chance if they accidentally tuck their head that they're going to land on it? I don't know. I have no good explanation.
I understand that, you know, him doing the Styles Clash is like, that's a big move. That's synonymous with him. But, I mean, is there any, like, you would think after botching it, like, 3 times, and it's memorable, the fact that he has botched it, that he would just kind of keep that in his back pocket and come up with something different to do, and then just pull it out in a really good match, like, in a big match.
I want to thank you very much for the call. I mean, he's got the spiral tap as well, which is that twisting forward... what would it be called? It's kind of a twisting senton, I guess you could call it. And, you know, to me, especially if you're going to be wrestling in your 40s, you want a move that you can do past your 40s. And the spiral tap is not it. And one would think the Styles Clash is. So it seems like it's a good finisher, but maybe it's not. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, taking your phone calls and talking all the news. 855-478-4478. Toll free. 855-478-4478. Very quickly, this is where I normally do my big plug for the website. You've heard the plug a million times. What you have not heard a million times, and what you may not hear again for a long time, is we're doing a special that we have not done in a decade for Black Friday weekend. That means you have about 24 hours left, by the way, because we're going through Cyber Monday at 8 Eastern. For the next 24 hours, if you have never signed up to WrestlingObserver.com, we are offering a full 100% subscription for $3.99 for an entire month. The usual price is $10.99, which, by the way, if I do say so myself, is a steal. However, for the next 24 hours, if you go to WrestlingObserver.com and click the link on the front page, you can sign up for a full month for $3.99. I do 2 shows a day. We've got the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. We've got full archives of the Observer and Figure Four Weekly, hundreds of issues. And we've got 6,000 radio shows in the archives. Every show we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is available in the archives. You can get all of this 1 month, $3.99. We have not had a deal like this in 10 years. May not have a deal like this for another 10 years. But for the next 24 hours only, $3.99. If you have never signed up, there is no better time to do it. Give it a shot. I've said it a million times. If you like Wrestling Observer Live, you will love your subscription. So check out WrestlingObserver.com and sign up for $3.99. To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello.
Hey, it's Zombie from Northern California. How's it going?
What's happening?
Just a quick comment. I'm not even going to talk about Mr. Punk, but that was good stuff. I'm not going to mention it. I'm actually going to talk about King of the Indies 2015.
That's right. It's coming back.
Yes, it is. Since you were there in 2001, if they were a battle royal, would you wrestle?
Another battle royal?
Sure. You won't get killed by Super Dragon and Ed Moretti.
Hey, listen, I nearly got killed by Super Dragon and Ed Moretti in the first Battle Royal, so who's saying it wouldn't happen this time? They're both available.
Injuries happen all the time in Battle Royals. Dangerous.
I'll bet you anything they could get Super Dragon and Ed Moretti to do a Battle Royal for King of Indies 2015.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Super Dragon did come up, but he probably wouldn't get in the Battle Royal. But I'd like to throw some shout-outs to Gabe and Sal and Rick and all the other guys, you know, the WWE and live people. Thank you for coming through and honoring a true legend and pioneer, Bowen Alexander. We do appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. I would consider a battle royal, but I hated them. I hated battle royals. They were so goofy. You stand there. Everybody hits each other. You're not supposed to take any bumps. I would always do the deal where I found somebody who also didn't want to do anything, and we would go in the corner and do a headlock for a long time. It's just too dangerous in there. There's fists flying and feet flying and crazy people doing crazy things. You're one of 20 dudes, faceless dudes in there. Never liked battle royals. Not my thing.
Did you watch World War III?
Oh, yes. I sure did.
Now, I can't recall which one it was. I'm not sure how many of these that they had, but I do remember one where Paul Orndorff pile drove, I don't know if it was an Armstrong or who it was. I think it was an Armstrong family member. He does a pile driver, and then they stretcher him out, the guy he pile drove. And I'm thinking, why? Why would you use a pile driver in the middle of 20 other men fighting in a ring?
20? Try 60.
Well, yeah, but in each ring, there are 20 men.
And you are correct. That's right.
It just made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I just remember the one that I saw, Paul Orndorff took this. It was funny because he had 60 guys, and there were guys that are very, very athletic, like Booker T. And the way he was eliminated, he was gently pushed over the top rope. He sat on the apron, and then he stepped down onto the ground. Like, just the lamest elimination of all time for this great athlete. And then you had Paul Orndorff, who essentially only had one arm. And it's time for him to be eliminated. And he goes flying over the top rope. He lands on the ground. He does a backwards shoulder roll. And he ends up upside down on the guardrail on his shoulder. I was like, what is happening here? It was such a... It's on the network right now if you want to go see it, everybody. World War III from 1995. A crazy match. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air. Turn your radio or your tune in or whatever you're listening to off.
All right. This is Tim in Los Angeles.
What's up, Tim?
Hi, I had initially called in to talk about Punk, but everyone talking about AJ Styles and the Styles Clash got me thinking. And I was just thinking, because I've heard people say, oh, you know, maybe it's because he's wrestling new guys, but wasn't Bison Smith using essentially the same move in Japan for a long time?
Yeah, Hiroshi Tanahashi's using it now.
Is Tanahashi still using it? I thought he quit using it after AJ showed up.
Well, yeah, actually, that's true, but I'm sure he'll break it back out at some point. But he's been consistently using it until AJ got there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, is that I think it has more to do with AJ than it does to do with the people he's wrestling. And I think it's not necessarily that he's not jumping high enough. It might just be that he's not, tall enough or strong enough to be holding these guys up.
I don't know, because he's done it to, I mean, I'm sure he's done it to, like, Samoa Joe, who's, like, a huge dude. I mean, you know what? I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, I don't know if you saw Yoshitatsu, who's known as Yoshitatsu now, in New Japan, if you saw him take it where his head was completely ducked down. He just seemingly took it wrong. It seemed to have nothing really to do with Styles. When you saw Styles jumped up and Tatsu's head was bent down with his chin tucked into his chest. So I don't know how that could be AJ Styles' fault. Now, again, why it's happening three times to him, who knows? It just, it didn't, it certainly doesn't look like it was his fault, at least on that one. And again, even on the Roderick Strong one, I don't know. It's a mystery.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe when he first, like for the first decade, maybe he was always, before he had the match with people, saying, listen, my move is a Styles Clash. I'm going to lift you up like this. And when I jump, just make sure you don't duck your head. And now here we are a decade later, and maybe in his mind it's like, I don't need to tell these guys this. They all know what the Styles Clash is. They should all know not to duck their head. And maybe he's not telling people and they just forget. I don't know. I have no better explanation for this.
That could be it, but I saw him out here at PWG, and it was a safer botch, but he botched it on Brian Myers, the former Curt Hawkins, in a way where he kind of just didn't have the power to pull it off, and he just kind of inverted it into a Boston Crab and kind of gave up in the middle. And I love AJ Styles, and I think he's a great worker, but I've just noticed that he doesn't seem to have the same kind of fire and, I guess, just, you know, the same amount of really care for his in-ring action that he used to have all the time.
I see. I don't know if you can lay something like that on him. I mean, I guess we could ask him. I would assume I would know what his answer would be, but it may just be an issue if it's something, if it is, happens to be his fault. I don't think it's a matter of care or not being careful in what he's doing. I think it would just be his physical condition, I think, would have more to do with it, and maybe his age would have more to do with it than just not caring. I would find it hard to believe that.
Yeah, if you've watched AJ Styles' matches in New Japan, I mean, the dude cares. But maybe he's got some injuries. I mean, he did suffer that neck injury, which we don't know the real extent of, to the best of my knowledge. And he's been wrestling for a long time, and I remember in like 2003, 2004, 2005, you can go back and read my reviews of his matches. I thought this dude would be in a wheelchair by the time he was 40 because of all the crazy, he would take power bombs on the guardrail, like the edge of the guardrail. I thought he was going to kill himself. And he's not in a wheelchair, but he may have a lot of injuries we don't know about. And he doesn't have the functional strength because of those injuries to do the move like he used to. That's possible.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Can I quickly just make the point that I wanted to make about CM Punk?
Sure, absolutely.
I feel like this is something a lot of people are overlooking, and he mentions a little bit about the money and the network, but I noticed that he left right after Royal Rumble, which was the last traditional pay-per-view to not be on the network. So I think the network stuff is a bigger deal to him than he really seems to want to let on.
I agree that that's a real big thing for him, but did you hear his whole interview yet?
Yeah, I heard the whole thing. I've actually listened to it twice already.
Okay, yeah, because at the very beginning, I mean, he made it clear that, yeah, I was really upset about pay. Yeah, I was really hurt. But, I mean, he said there really wasn't one big thing that set it off, except maybe his physical health. So I do agree with you that that was a really big thing, but I believe him when he says, you know, I thought I was dying. I felt like I was dying. Yeah,
I agree with you. I just felt like it was kind of a convenient timing that it was the last pay-per-view and then he leaves.
Well, you know what? It was very convenient. I want to thank you very much for the call. It was very convenient timing, but
it helped to put some of that icing on the cake. And it's, you know, it's still an issue that, to my knowledge, is still pretty much unresolved. How do you make that money up for those guys?
No one knows to this day. It is a mystery.
And that's it. That with everything else. And again, it was not just one thing with CM Punk. For anyone who heard that whole podcast, there were a lot of things. But you know what? They already had taken money out of his pocket when they had flipped him heel. And he obviously talks about the bit of time that he had outselling John Cena as far as merchandise goes. And they took that away from him. Vincent Odom. There are all these things going on. And then on top of it now, well, all the pay-per-views have a value of $9.99, and you won't be getting a cut of it. And we got to figure out a way to make that money up, and then nothing. And Punk talks about Randy Orton coming to him. Other people came to him asking, well, what's going to be going on? No answer. And there has not been an answer since.
All right, back to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Nope, you're not on the air. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John from Arkansas.
What's up, John?
I just saw the Styles thing. Ooh, ouch. Man, my head even hurts after watching that one.
Which one, the Kojima one?
Yeah, the Kojima one. I mean, granted, you're right, Mike. Kojima's not exactly a small guy to be, you know, maneuvering around like that. But like Brian said, he's got guys like Samoa Joe, and I think I even saw him deliver it once to Hernandez, who is definitely not a small guy.
We need to see if he can do it on Ryota Hama.
Oh, my. Let's just be happy last night or whenever this match took place, he didn't do it on Hiroshi Tenzan, because that would have been bad.
I mean, it's like the age-old thing, you know. Everything, there's a chance that something could possibly mess up, and, you know, you hope that it won't, but, I mean, what can you do? As far as the other topic of news this week, CM Punk, well, you know, I can't blame him for venting his frustration. I don't know if it was necessarily the proper way to vent his frustration, but, you know, he did do it. And it does kind of make you want to take a harder look at WWE's management and the way they do things and how they treat their talent. And I'm going to be very interested to see if Stone Cold will go there, because I think it's going to be funny to see if Vince McMahon will squirm around or if he will answer the question when it comes to CM Punk.
Well, I think you got to know that Steve Austin has got a very, he's got a very well-known podcast. A lot of people really like it. And he doesn't want to be the guy that goes on the network tomorrow and doesn't ask the question. So I'm almost certain he's going to ask. I don't know how Vince is going to answer, but I think he'll ask. We'll talk more about this after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Actually, the hourly break. We'll be back for another hour in a moment. A couple of quick notes. I was noticing on Twitter here, somebody does not believe that Steve Austin is going to ask Vince McMahon about CM Punk. I'm telling you, he's going to ask him. I fully expect to get a corporate answer out of Vince. But I'll bet you
they may have a gentleman's agreement that he doesn't push it or something like that. There's no way he doesn't. There's no way.
He's going to ask. I don't know. He's not going to. They will not spend 20 minutes on it. Pretty much guaranteed. But he'll ask and he'll get an answer. I just don't think it's going to be a very in-depth answer. Very quickly, this is the live Sunday edition of the show, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA. We will be replaying tomorrow morning, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. So if you're listening on Monday, guess what? Sunday is the live show, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Also, don't forget, we've got a new Saturday morning, one-hour edition of Wrestling Observer Live every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. It will replay at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern on Saturdays as well. All of these schedules are up at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you missed yesterday's interview with Jay Lethal, that will be up on the Sports Byline website, SportsByline.com. And of course, you can check out a live stream of Sports Byline USA on that website as well. No matter where you are in the world, there's no reason you shouldn't be listening to this show. We're going to head to the hourly break. When we come back, phone lines open again, 855-478-4478. All the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. Cable radio network streaming live through a million different places. SportsByline.com, WrestlingObserver.com, TuneIn Radio, the app. Man, there's nowhere in the world you can't hear this show. So if you're not listening to it, I don't know what to tell you. I got a message here. I got the daily update from Dave. I don't know how we got on the topic here today of the Styles clash, but he wrote here, Adrian McCollum, who suffered a broken neck in March from the Styles clash, this is the wrestler known as Lionheart, said on Facebook that the move is not dangerous. It is a simple move, but what is dangerous is the instinctual reaction of the guy taking the move. I argued that from day one, the idea that when you're upside down, And the move is about to take place, you know you're not supposed to tuck your head. But if there isn't even a moment where you are distracted, Maybe somebody in the crowd yells something. You see something on the mat. You think about, my God, thank goodness the match is almost over. I'm tired. If you, even for a moment, get distracted, as soon as you start feeling that you're going down, your instinctual thought is to tuck your head. Anytime you're falling towards your head, the instinct is to tuck your head. It's exactly what this guy is saying here. So, I don't know. That's my argument.
Al, it's, again, all of these years, all of these people doing moves like that, and nobody's been hurt, and we've had a rash of them. And, again, it's maybe, again, maybe Styles just needs to tell these guys, or just, you know, somebody needs to yell at them when he's going, when they're going up for it. Just try to remember, don't tuck your head.
Don't tuck your head. That's a life lesson for everybody. I even chanted that to the tune of that song that just played. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, your phone calls, 855-478-4478. The phones are going crazy today, so get ready to call Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are taking your phone calls today, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. You do not have to call about CM Punk or the Styles Clash. You can if you want to. This is an open forum for all of you wrestling and mixed martial arts fans listening. So the lines are unscreened, open lines. Call about whatever you want. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
To everybody's favorite replacement co-host, David Vixen's fan.
David, what's up? Oh, I'm glad you called. Mike was supposed to remind me. For those of you unaware, David is the lead writer of the Figure Four Weekly newsletter, and he wrote a great Figure Four Weekly this week. If you're one of the people that signed up for the $3.99 for 1 month option, you can go up and read it right now. And if you have not signed up yet, there is a free issue that is still available that you can grab at WrestlingObserver.com. But he wrote a great article about the CM Punk interview this week that you should check out in Figure Four Weekly. Excellent job, David.
Thank you. So what I wanted to talk about was related to the Punk thing. It's something that I didn't see pointed out until a little after I finished the newsletter. But
did Punk take a Styles Clash?
I don't think Punk has taken a Styles Clash now. Go ahead,
Tim. At some point.
He may have. You're right, actually.
Yeah. In Ring of Honor. But anyway, as I wrote in yesterday's Daily Update, I think it was John Lister that I saw mention at first, that WWE could have given Punk a wellness violation if they wanted to. Most likely. I mean, that's how it seems, that he did technically refuse to take a drug test. Do you think that they would have, or they realized that if, at least when they were trying to get him back, that that would escalate the situation too much and he would never come back?
Well, two things. First off, I don't know if, it's very complicated because he was being asked to take a drug test along with a lot of other things that day. And he blew his stack and went to talk to Vince. And so I don't know if you could technically say he refused. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't do it immediately, but I see what you're saying, and they probably could have. But I think the biggest issue is, as you mentioned, it's very clear based on the settlement that he got, which didn't even include the non-disparagement clause. They weren't going to do that.
No, way too inflammatory.
They knew that he had them over the barrel. And when your gimmick, when your lifelong gimmick is the straight edge CM Punk, I mean, the idea that they would have hit him with a wellness violation, I mean, this would have been very ugly. And if he has any more on them, and quite frankly, maybe he does. Maybe there's stuff that we don't know about that he hasn't even talked about that he had on them. I mean, I don't know. But I would think that if they would have hit him with that, it would have been extremely ugly and dirty.
Yeah, and for people that say he's an obstreperous prick or that he's moody or anything you want to say about CM Punk, I have never heard one person say that he does not live what he says. And if they did hit him with that, they would just be begging for it. Because, again, even CM Punk's people that hate him, I would assume that would be out there. No one can say that he was going to fail a wellness. I just think that would have been very, very bad for him.
And think about this, too. You know how much they dislike this guy. You know that, like, if Triple H had his way, how he would love to announce that CM Punk had failed a wellness test. So imagine the kind of stuff that he must have had on them.
Having said that, I don't think they realized just how badly he had them over a barrel until he got the lawyer involved, necessarily. Because I don't think they would have played the games with holding the checks and stuff in the first place.
Sure. So it also may have been that they didn't even consider that a refusal to take a test. It may be a deal where, like, I don't know how they do the drug testing backstage at the event. It may just be like, okay, when you show up, here's a list of guys, and at some point today, make sure that you go see the guy and take your test. I don't know how they do it, so it's hard to say, like, I mean, maybe it's common for them to go up and say, Batista, we need a urine test today, but go ahead and get your gear on, and if you've got to go over your match, get that done first, and then just make sure you see the guy before you go out tonight.
I think according to the policy, it's supposed to be within 2 hours of the first notification.
Sure. So if he went and talked to Vince within 2 hours, then technically he would not have refused it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is an interesting, The whole thing is.
Yeah. And the timing, I mean, I think in theory, it's supposed to be the lab company who comes up with the random list. So assume if it was just a straight up random test, then kind of a coincidence. You can certainly understand, like you said, concussion had MRSA for, 2 months at that point?
Yeah.
You can certainly see why he wouldn't want to have to pee in front of someone else at that moment.
Well, I think the way that I read it, it was more like, really, everybody knows my gimmick. Everybody knows that I really am straight edge. And on top of everything else, now you're making me do this. Like, I think it was just like an added insult upon everything else.
And he wouldn't be the only guy who, in any line of business who has got to get drug tested, who doesn't do anything, that seems to always pop up on a random drug test list too, which I know obviously he said what he said about Ryback. It always seems to be there's always the guy who doesn't do anything that always ends up popping up for the test. I don't know if it's for, you know, numbers reasons to make yourself look better or, you know, for whatever reason it is. So, you know, for some reason that doesn't surprise me that they ask the guy that everyone's pretty sure doesn't do anything to take the test.
One more thing before you go, Bix. Do you think that Austin is going to ask Vince about Punk tomorrow? I say undoubtedly yes.
I tend to agree with you because it could very well be that with the settlement, Vince just has a prepared answer that he has to give.
Sure.
It could be that simple. It could just be, you know, as CM Punk mentioned in that in the interview you're speaking of, we have a settlement with certain non-disclosures, blah, 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 and that's all I can say or whatever. And that would be it. So if it's something like that, I don't see why he wouldn't.
Sure. Well, Bix, I want to thank you so much for the call and great work on the figure four. I do think tomorrow that when Steve Austin frames the question, I don't think that Steve Austin is going to say, Vince, Colt Cabana's podcast available on ColtCabana.com. There's nothing like that. I think it'll be framed like CM Punk has said some disparaging things about this company. Do you have any statement about them? And then Vince will give his statement, and then they'll move on to the next topic. That's kind of how I see it going tomorrow.
By the way, Bick's doing a fine job with the front page daily updates as well.
That's right. Excellent. Excellent work by Bix. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Frank from New York.
Frank, what's going on?
Well, it's regarding the CM Punk interview. And, Brian, I was on your boat for the longest time. After hearing all the rumors about CM Punk, I thought there was no chance that CM Punk would ever be in the WWE ever again. And I probably would have made those same bets that you've made. But after listening to the interview, that has actually made me switch position.
Really? I had the exact... When I heard that interview, was like... You've made $100 over the next 10 years. Good work,
quadruple
Brian.
Quadruple up on Mookie. I hope he'll put up 1,000 now.
Really? Wow. I'm not going to go
that
crazy.
I got to borrow 900 of that, so maybe we'll leave it with 100. But still, that's how I feel, at least.
Wow. Now, why did you come to that conclusion?
Well, two reasons. When the rumors first came about, I first thought that both Vince McMahon and Triple H had the same degree of heat with CM Punk. But as CM Punk made it clear in the interview, it's actually Triple H that has the most heat on CM Punk. In fact, he even said that Vince sent him an email or a text just a few days after this whole incident erupted and asked him to come back. So it seems that Vince is more inclined to bring Punk back.
Actually, stand by. We're gonna head to a break. I'll hold you over and we'll talk about this more when we come back because I got some stuff to say as well. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays live at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Sundays, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network. The list goes on and on. And we are going back to New York City. You are on the air. Where were we in our discussion?
Basically, how the CM Punk interview made me switch my entire position of him.
That's right.
Returning.
That's right. And so you believe he will be back within 10 years?
Yes. In fact, I could actually pinpoint it because it's going to be, in my opinion, whenever WrestleMania will take place in Chicago because of the two things that Punk brought up in his interview. First, his heat with Vince McMahon is not as bad as his heat with Triple H. So as long as Vince McMahon is in charge, there is still a possibility between him working with Punk, as he's worked with so many other people he's had problems with in the past, whether it was Austin or Hogan or Hart. The second key thing here is the fact that I didn't know, as I'm sure probably a lot of other people didn't, how much Punk wanted to be in the main event of WrestleMania, that he even said that his entire career is a failure because he didn't get in the main event in WrestleMania. And when Punk originally left, I thought there was no way he'd ever come back because there's nothing Vince McMahon could offer him that would ever bring him back. Because Punk doesn't want money, he's made that very clear. But after how much he's talked about WrestleMania, I do believe it's one of the last brass rings that Vince McMahon could hold in front of Punk, and that would bring him back, a main event at WrestleMania. And why wouldn't Vince McMahon want to bring him back if it's ever held in Chicago? Vince McMahon loves those record sellout crowds, and he knows that having Punk at the main event at WrestleMania would do it. The question is, when will WrestleMania be at Chicago? If it happens when Triple H is in charge, then there's no chance that Punk will come back. But if Vince McMahon is still in charge and WrestleMania is in Chicago, I cannot see CM Punk not being in the main event.
It's a pretty solid argument. I'm not going to lie.
Wait, now, where are you going to have WrestleMania in Chicago?
Exactly.
You'd have to probably do it at Soldier Field. And I know it's probably, what, the upper 40s, low 50s at that time of year in Chicago. They dodged a bullet this year, in 2 years ago in New York. I'm not saying that they would not run Chicago. It's just they seem to want to run major, huge, massive domes or outdoor stadiums, and I don't think Chicago – I guess you could do Soldier Field. I just I don't know if they're going to risk going up north if it's not in a dome anytime again soon. I tend to doubt that. I could be wrong, but if they're looking at I've heard Dallas, I've heard Boston in the next couple of years. Obviously, I'm sure they'd love to hit Miami again. Atlanta's been good for them. And by that point, would they need CM Punk to be on there? Did they need CM Punk on there this year? No. And obviously, Vince could hold that out there to Punk, but I don't know how business. And obviously, this is Vince's company. He can trump Triple H anytime he wants. With that said, I just don't see any time in the near future Vince going, damn it, we need to get Punk back here to make the show. It would be great, especially if you're a CM Punk fan or CM Punk, if that happened, I guess. But I don't know if that would ever be offered. And frankly, even now, even though he said it was a big disappointment to him, they would really have to bend over backwards and give him a long list of demands, which I'm sure he would have, which I'm sure would be again, a lot of negotiation going on for them to even bring him back in. I still will go by the 10-year bet.
Let me just say two things. First off, the two things are, number one, as Mike noted, I mean, are they going to Chicago for a WrestleMania anytime soon? I don't know. They may never go to Chicago again. That's number one. Number two, as you noted, I mean, if Vince is no longer in charge, who knows how long Vince is going to be in charge of WWE. Once Vince is gone, I say zero chance that Punk comes back.
I agree. And third,
CM Punk did say that him not main eventing WrestleMania to him meant he was a failure at wrestling. That's true. However, he has also privately said that if he ever goes back to WWE, he will consider it a life failure, which ranks much, much higher than just a personal career failure. He will feel like he is a failure at life if he goes back to WWE. Can you imagine this whole two-hour interview that he did, and then a couple years later we find out he's going back to this place? That's the part to me. It's more than just would they have him back. Would Punk ever want to go back to this place after, in his words, almost dying, after being fired on his wedding day? I don't think he would even want to go back. I think his ship, his WrestleMania ship, has sailed in his mind.
And I think there are more guys like that than maybe people would believe. I know it's hard to believe from the outside that, you know, how could you not want to be there? What if they invited you back? The Ultimate Warrior, all these guys came back. But I don't know if I'm CM Punk or Alberto Del Rio or even guys like Court Bauer or Alex Greenfield, who I'm sure they were writers. I'm sure they wouldn't go back. Alex Greenfield's on record as saying how horrible of a place it was for him to work.
Well, he was also making significantly less money than Punk made and would make
and
to come back.
That's true, but you know what? Sometimes, and again, with CM Punk, he's got the money. Sometimes that doesn't really matter. You know, you were there, you did it, you've accomplished a lot of things, you have money in the bank, you're happy, you're rested, you're not banged up and hurt anymore. Sometimes it's, you know, not everybody has to go back. I know most guys in wrestling, they're going to go back, but not everyone has to go back.
All right, anything else?
No. I love to hear your points. I didn't know about the whole, failure in life note there. So that kind of changes my perspective. But who knows? I mean, I thought the same thing with Bruno for decades. So, I mean, if anything, we'll have to just wait and see.
All right, I want to thank you so much for the call. If you'd like to give us a call today, everybody, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. It is toll-free in the United States and Canada, 855-478-4478. First-time callers, we are looking for you. We get a lot of calls here on the show, but a lot of the same people. If you're listening, you've never called in, give us a call. Open lines. Anything that is on your mind in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. You don't have to talk about CM Punk or Styles Clash. You might want to talk about Sting. Mike, we haven't even really talked about Sting. Nobody is talking about Sting. The first ever appearance by Sting in a WWE ring, nobody's talking about it. What were your thoughts on his return?
Yeah, it means nobody's talking about the Royal Rumble, which was given away for free, free to all.
The Survivor Series.
Hey, I thought the main event was really, really, I don't want to say great, but man, it was really good. I really liked the way that they did everything with Cena losing, with Ziggler being the last guy in there. Obviously, Cena came out at the end for affirmation. But I thought the way the whole thing went down, I there were a lot of people that were really surprised when Cena lost. And then with Dolph Ziggler winning, with Sting coming out there, facing off with Triple H, it's a good foreshadowing. It looks as though Triple H and Sting will be the main event, or not the main event, but will be a match at WrestleMania, or at least a possible match at WrestleMania, which if you're a fan of Sting, obviously everybody wanted Sting and The Undertaker. The Undertaker just may not be able to do it. It could have been Sting and Rock. Sting and Triple H actually makes the most sense. If you're a fan of Sting and want to see him kind of be at his best, I think Triple H is really the right guy to be in there with him. So I'm happy for that. I don't think they followed up well on it on Monday. Obviously, you didn't have to have Sting be a major part of the show, but I think it would have been nice to have at least a little more of a mention of him being there than what they did. But at least it seems to be the kickoff now of WrestleMania season. Hopefully we'll see what they do kind of going through December, but they need desperately to get some fire behind these Raws and these special events slash pay-per-views, because they are really, I know there's a little malaise always every year leading into WrestleMania, but geez, I was not entertained at all with this week's programming, which has been the same for a lot of the past weeks of programming as well. They've done a poor job leading into these big events. They've got to stop doing that. They've got to give people a reason to tune in, and I don't know if the anonymous general manager would be that thing.
To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Matt in Phoenix.
Matt, what's up?
Hey, my question is kind of just a speculation. I mean, what with Punk's interview last in Triple H, as we kind of expected, and just the whole, Ricardo Rodriguez and Albert Del Rio and, kind of claiming some racism, in the office. And, I mean, what do you think it would take to really get him and Stephanie kind of out of that position, really more him, and get somebody else in there that, maybe get back some of the talent that's unhappy?
I don't think that the shareholders are really going to go after Triple H. I mean, I haven't listened to like Alberto Del Rio's shoot interview or anything like that when he's talked about racism, but I haven't ever really heard a lot of, in fact, I don't think I've ever heard anybody saying those things about Triple H. I've heard it said about other people.
I think the only thing really said about Triple H has been the bumblebee comment from,
yes,
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yes, which I don't know if I would say that would be a racial comment. It's more making fun of his weight.
Chespirito.
Is what?
Chespirito passed away, which I'm sure that's where they got the Bumblebee man from The Simpsons passed away, the El Chavo. Do you know him, Brian?
You're talking to the wrong guy for things like that, my friend. But yeah, I if there were a big, I mean, if the shareholders were really, strongly requesting somebody be ousted, I mean, it's possible, but I can't see them doing something like that with Triple H. I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm sorry we got to run to a commercial, but back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. And before we go back to the phones here, I just want to mention very quickly, every week I do the plug for WrestlingObserver.com, but for the first time in 10 years, and maybe the last time in 10 years, we have a massive special that is available for only the next 24 hours. At 8 Eastern tomorrow, this special is done. And the special is, if you go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com right now, you can get a full month access to the website for just $3.99. Usual price is $10.99, which is a steal, but for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, $10.99 out the door, you can get a full month for just $3.99. That's full access to all of the new shows. I do two shows a day. Full access to the entire archive of 6,000 radio shows dating back to 2005. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business are available in the archive. Full access to the new and archived Observers. Full access to the new and archived Figure Fours. Full access to everything, only $3.99 for the next 24 hours. So head up to WrestlingObserver.com right now and check it out. After this, back to $10.99, which, as noted, a great value, but not as good a value as $3.99. So head up and buy it right now. You got 24 hours left. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Jason from Texas.
Jason, what's going on?
Hey, I've been hearing some rumors about Stone Cold coming back to be GM on Raw. What's the possibility of that happening, or him being back in any kind of manner?
Well, tomorrow, of course, after Raw, he is going to be doing a podcast with Vince McMahon on the WWE Network. And today is the last day of the free month on the WWE Network. And so, therefore, one of the main reasons they're doing that podcast on the network is they want all of the people that tried for free to sign up tomorrow to hear Steve Austin interview Vince McMahon. So my guess would be that as a way to promote that, I would not be the least bit surprised if Steve Austin were the GM on Raw tomorrow and maybe on SmackDown Friday night as well. I don't think he's going to be like a permanent GM or anything like that, but I would think there's a decent chance he will be tomorrow's GM.
Okay, cool.
Any other questions?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right, thanks so much for the call. If you want to give us a call, everybody, 855-478-4478. I hadn't even thought about that until he called, but that certainly would make perfect sense. They're doing new GMs every week. I guess they did already announce that it was going to be Cyber Monday. But hey, last week on Raw, they told me that the New Day was debuting on Raw this week, and instead they debuted on SmackDown. So anything is possible, Mike.
Yeah, not the first time that's happened recently either, but it's good to see a New Day is upon us.
855-478-4478. If you want to give us a phone call, that is 855-478-4478. Give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. Open lines to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jay from Vancouver.
What's up, Jay?
Not too much. I've only been listening since the top of the hour, so forgive me if this has already been brought up. But have you guys listened to AJ Styles' interview with Chris Jericho on his podcast from a few months ago?
I have not. Have you, Mike?
No, I haven't.
What did he say?
Well, there was they talked about a lot of things, but one topic that they did broach was actually the injuries that were happening with the Styles clash. Because the interview happened shortly after, I believe, Lionheart had his injury while
sure.
taking the Styles class. And AJ's whole argument with it is that, I mean, I've heard you say that it is kind of instinctual to kind of tuck your chin while taking a bump. But his whole argument is that it's counterintuitive to tuck your chin when taking a move like that. And he went on to say that, you know, it's, you know, if someone is to get hurt while taking the Styles clash, it is pretty much 100% their fault and not his. And I mean, I've never been in a ring, so I don't really have an opinion on that. I mean, have you ever taken a bump like that while you were wrestling, Brian, like anything like a pedigree or a Styles clash?
I've never taken a Styles clash. I'm pretty sure I've taken a pedigree, but he's right in the sense that if you're taking a flat stomach bump, if you're going to land stomach first, I mean, you should not be tucking your head. But the move starts upside down. And so, I mean, he's right that it ends as a stomach first bump. But, you know, like I said, and apparently like Lionheart said, you are starting upside down. And if there is a lapse in concentration, all you feel is yourself going up and then you start going down. And I can imagine myself tucking my head. I would hope that I, you know, wouldn't, but I don't know if it's instinctual on a Styles clash because you're already starting upside down, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say that AJ sounded arrogant while he was talking about it, but I mean, just because, I mean, I've seen other guys use this move, and I don't doubt that AJ is very safe in the ring. Because I mean, a guy like Tanahashi, I remember him using the Styles clash sporadically in New Japan, and it always looked totally fine when he did it. And, you know, I mean, AJ says he never, like, puts his weight down on anyone. He always just drops to his knees. And he says, you know, the onus is 100% on the other person to protect themselves, which is true, I would imagine. But, I mean, I heard you mention also that perhaps maybe the injuries that are happening so often these days is maybe because he's injured or because he's getting older. But, I mean, I'm sure, like, Tanahashi's older than AJ, and I'm sure he's pretty roughed up too, but I've never seen him come close to injuring anyone.
I think AJ might be older than Tanahashi. Do you know, Mike?
It's pretty close, actually. Tanahashi's been around a lot longer. Of course, what Tanahashi's had the benefit of is, and granted, it's a different style, but they're off for weeks and on. It's a little bit of a different schedule, and I'm not saying that Tanahashi's not banged up or anything, but you got to remember Tanahashi's also a lot bigger than AJ is too. But again, the issue with AJ doesn't seem to be, you know, it doesn't seem to be with the guys taking the move, tapping and saying, hey, I feel like I'm slipping or something like that before he does it. They seem to be in position and they're all just, again, tucking their heads in. Again, for whatever reason why it's happening this year, it's happened this year. But I don't want to say that anybody's really at fault here. Obviously, the guys who are ducking their heads are at fault. But, you know, I think it's just freak occurrences, and for whatever reason, it's all happening at one time. Again, this move has been used now for years. It's been, you know, over well over a decade, And Roderick Strong, I'm sure, has taken it before he took that one. I'm sure all of these guys have taken moves similar, whether it be pedigrees or whatever it is. But again, maybe it, like Brian said, it just seems to be a split second lapse in judgment where when you're usually in that position, you know, you're upside down like that, you're getting pile driven where you tuck your neck, or you're getting flipped up into a power bomb where you're tucking your neck. I just, again, Brian can say it better because he's wrestled before, but none of this, again, it just seems to all be very freakish.
Going to go to the phones here in just a moment, but two notes. First off, Ed, of all people, noted that Jeff Hardy, in fact, did once do an interview where he claimed to have seen CM Punk. I don't know if he said he saw him, but he made mention that CM Punk took Ambien to go to sleep. So that was one claim that CM Punk was not straight edge, but it was Jeff Hardy during a promo. Or maybe, I don't even know, I don't know if it was a promo or it was a YouTube thing or what it was. May not have been during one of Jeff Hardy's better moments. So I don't know if we should, you know, read too much into that.
You have to say consider the source. And then you also have to say again, too, and I'm not, you know, Ambien, it's widely prescribed to help people and wrestlers on those types of schedules. Again, I know, I don't know if he's ever said he's never done anything ever prescribed by a doctor. Maybe he has, and I missed that. So I think when you compare Ambien to the million and one other things that would be considered, you know, hard drugs, I mean, again, I think that would be a little much. And then you also have to consider the source at some of the times where Jeff Hardy has not been, what would the right way to say this be? Lucid?
Sure. And another note that Mike got a text a moment ago from somebody who would probably have a good indication of what's going on Raw tomorrow. And the feeling is there may not be a Cyber Monday as they'd promised, which should come as no surprise to anybody based on what has been promised and not delivered over the last couple of years now, actually.
Also, just want to throw this in there about WrestleMania. Some of the names that, you know, obviously the Bay Area, San Jose, San Francisco, this year at the Levi's Stadium, but Boston, Dallas, and Orlando are being the ones that are kicked around most notably for the next couple of years here. So Chicago doesn't seem to be in that mix. Maybe they'll put in a bid later on, but it doesn't seem like they have.
And Big says the Hardy video was for his website. He's clearly addled and actually brags about his own drug taking in the video. So there you go. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Danny Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
What's up, Danny?
How are you guys? First off, I'd like to shout out to Mike for mentioning Bubble Bee Man El Chavo earlier. Very, very good. You're more Hispanic than Brian.
That's right. I'm now seeing photos of him tweeted to me. By Mike,
Brian,
actually.
Brian doesn't even watch Sabado Gigante. He's just a complete oh, shame to one half of his family. It's very, very disturbing. Doesn't even know who Nena Guzman is, and he should because she's beautiful.
I'll find out in about 2 seconds.
I did sign up finally for the Figure Four online, but sadly I did it the day before the $3.99 special, but still a good money's worth.
No, oh, thank you very much. Kenneth here did as well. He said freeloaded long enough. You guys sold me, so thanks to Kenneth and you as well.
So I've been catching up on the old some old Vine and Vinny shows.
No, oh, there's plenty.
And mostly on the Lucha Underground. So first thing you said, you mentioned that you learn Spanish. Because first episode you saw was in Vida Monster, said by the end of the series you will have to learn the language of Spanish. So hopefully that progress is going well. Hopefully.
The progress is going. I don't know if I could say it's going well.
Univision actually got me through Spanish. It was by watching like boxing and things like that when I was taking Spanish in high school. And so it actually helped me pass it was watching a lot of Univision.
Oh, yeah. And then another comment you made on Brian Vinny show is that you compared the Lucha Underground, like the arena, to the Kumite and Bloodsport.
That's right.
So now every time I watch it, like, oh, that's the Kumite set. Like from like one angle, it totally looks like it.
Doesn't it look like it?
It does.
It's creepy.
But like, one last thing. Two last things. Because since the last free show on Sunday, like during that Night of the Star series, the news broke that New Japan, like replays on Access TV, that just been swept under the rug of all the news happened this week. But that's pretty big news, right? New Japan and North American
Soil, right?
Isn't I mean, it's mostly 2013 stuff. I mean, they're going to show a lot of really, really great matches.
Don't you get Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett ought to be a pretty darn good team.
That's right. I mean, if it goes well, I mean, it'll be big news. If nobody watches it, it's not really news at all because it'll be a one and done.
Brian, I got a question for you. What do you think the better show is right now? Or are they tied? Lucha Underground and Ring of Honor. I don't get a chance to see Ring of Honor every single week, but every time I see it, it's great. And Lucha Underground is great. What would you take?
I would probably... They're both very good. I would probably go with Lucha Underground because it's newer and fresher. And sometimes I get sad watching Ring of Honor because at the end of a long taping, you know, they'll have a show that's just like the audience is just completely dead. But I don't have anything really negative to say about either show except for production reasons. I mean, the booking is great on both. I'm obviously going to be getting the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I've been interviewing tons of Ring of Honor guys. But I do like the different look of Lucha Underground. It's different. It's fresh. It's fun. I think they're both great. Danny, I want to thank you so much for the call. We got to head to a break. Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A few very important notes. If you're tuning in late and you have not heard, Wrestling Observer Weekends. We're now on Saturdays and Sundays. The Saturday time slot is 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, with a replay at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're, of course, live on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. If you miss this show on Sunday, it's replaying on Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. And, of course, if you're listening to this on Monday, well, Sunday is a live show, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Also, we are exactly 24 hours away from the end of our biggest sale in a decade. Full access to WrestlingObserver.com. 2 daily radio shows, 6,000 shows in the archives, new and archived Observers and Figure Fours, and so much more. You can get one full month, not for the normal $10.99, which, by the way, is a great value, but for only $3.99. No reason for you not to give this a try. If you've never tried it out before, it's only $3.99. You get full access to everything. And since you get all the archives, if you sign up today, it's like you signed up in 2005. Go into the archives, check out all of the shows. We got so much stuff coming up over the next couple of days. Dave and I are going to be up tomorrow night after Raw, and we are going to have a lot of news, not only about Raw, but we'll have a lot of discussion about the Vince McMahon interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who I can't guarantee because I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that Steve Austin is going to at least ask Vince McMahon about CM Punk, and we shall see what he says. So sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, $3.99 right now, 24 hours left. Don't miss out. And that is it for me, everybody. I want to thank all the folks at Sports Byline. Mike, as always, all of you, the listeners, and everybody else. We'll be back in a week, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.